Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 319, part 1, Hearts. Today is Friday, November 22nd, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Tonight's tape is entitled Hearts. And when he had looked about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. I read that and I thought, what a great season it is for the self-righteous. Because there's so much going on right now that the self-righteous can sit back, smack their lips, and say, glad I'm not involved in that. And carry on, you know, and just get real self-righteous. And you know, the Lord gets angry at that. When you get so self-righteous and you look out at people that might have some kind of a disease, or someone that's fallen into sin, which is a disease, or what you think is right, the Lord looks on that with anger. And so it says, he looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. How easy it is to get a hard heart. Today I had someone that had got into the groceries and took out a couple extra bags and ran them in a car and ran them up the street. And I thought, well, I'm going to see if I can catch them. You know, just right is right, I thought. And so I cut across the grass, and I ran up that way. I almost caught them. They were in a car, so, you know, I meant business. And I said, I would have caught them, but I got a blowout in my tennis shoe. And I found some humor in that. Otherwise, you know, you can get a hard heart on it. So the next time when they come in, say, oh, yes, I see here that you already had three bags. That takes care of December and January and February. Thank you. Why not? And you don't have to get all hard about it. Just say, no, here's the tally here. One, two, three bags there. That takes care of 3 months. We'll see you in a couple of 3 months here, okay? But anyway, the Lord loves that kind of thing because there's right is right, but there's a way of doing things. And so here we have the divine Lord, the pitiful Jesus, the meek and lowly, who is here described as being angry. Boy, that had never happened. Are you hearing this, kids? Listen now. When someone gets angry and you're not used to them being angry, well, then you really got to look at it. It might be like all of a sudden Jim would get angry. Wouldn't you kind of look at him kind of funny? Because he isn't a person that is at least outwardly real angry. Or Marty. Or Paul. Rhodey. And all of a sudden they're very angry. Now you're going to sit up and take notice. See, because it was a good anger, one harnessed to higher ends. Not a bad anger harnessed to pride or to a wounded ego. Oh, when somebody gets our ego, then we're ready to go, aren't we? Or one harnessed to fear? No, it was a good anger that stood up against evil. See, our capacity to love, I believe, the good, determines our capacity to hate evil. So we have a man here with a withered hand. And it says he was present at the synagogue. And it was his right hand, his hand that he earned his living with. But then the priests, with their hard hearts, waited for an excuse to accuse Jesus. They had to have an excuse to be mad. And we have things, people like that, that are looking for some kind of an excuse to be angry. And to accuse those that are doing the Lord's work. And it says in the end they'll call evil good and good evil. And so they watched Jesus' every move. They waited for one wrong word to come out. They were critical. And they were legal. And they were angry too, but by reason of jealousy and envy and pride and fear. They feared him. And sometimes when the Lord's work is going, and it's going rather well, kind of gets people kind of fearful. Pride might enter in. Envy might enter in, or jealousy might enter in. But they had a jealousy because of Jesus' power. Fearful of their loss of position. Are you hearing this? You little people here. Sometimes when you get into competition, you get a little bit fearful that someone might beat you out. Are you hearing this? Don't let that happen to yourselves. Wounded in their pride for not knowing it all. See, sometimes when we think we know it all, then someone comes along with such a simple message that's so deep, we think, well, why didn't I think of that? And then we start to say, well, gee, maybe I don't know it all, and our pride gets wounded. I call that sort of a wet hen angry. And so Jesus asks, is it right to do good on the Sabbath day? Now, do you think it's okay to do right on Sunday? Do you? Do you think that someone should be healed on Sunday? Think so. Do you think it's all right to do good on Sunday? What an easy question to answer. But you see, the answer would have condemned them. They had already set their case up, don't you see? And then we have the scribes here that were most skilled in splitting hairs. You ever been around somebody that can split hairs? And then we have the Pharisees who could measure the border, it says, of a garment to the eighth of an inch. And they would not answer this very simple, simple question of morals. Common sense, so many times, to the very simple point, questions always bend the legalist nose. Like someone condemning someone else. Well, how would you like to be in their shoes? Or what would you do in that situation? Or what does the Lord say? What does the Word say? And very, very simple questions bend them. But here, Mark is very descriptive. Mark is very, very clear. And by the help, I believe, of Mark's words, we can easily picture the Savior looking round upon them, it says. So he sort of gave them a quick gaze all around. And Jesus, it says, stands up boldly. He has nothing to conceal. And he looks upon them in anger. Can you imagine that look from God? A look of a man who angers easily, you know, there's no force in it at all. And people just go right on working. And they can be mad and they could be down there at the carpenter shop down there and they could be, you know, hacking the wood away and pulling and banging things down and the glue didn't work and throw the stuff across the room. You don't pay too much attention to them. That's the way they are all the time. Ever been around anybody like that? And we call them hotheads. Well, that's the way they are. They're a hothead. Or you know, they got a short fuse. They fly off the handle rather easily. We call them ridiculous. It's sort of a blaze and a blast, a bugging out of the eyes. Fierce but futile. No one pays much attention. No, the only one that really gets hurt is the person. You kids ever been around somebody that gets mad right away and you're playing a game? And they're always mad. I'm not going to play. And pretty soon you say, oh, they'll just go home. They always go home. They're always mad. They always quit right in the middle of the game. But then you have a friend that never, ever gets mad. And all of a sudden, they're angry. And now you're looking like, whew. Must be something really important to make them angry. And then you take notice. But the hothead, the fly off the handle, the get mad very easily, the easily wounded, the prideful, the fearful, you don't pay too much attention to them. See, because that's the way they are. But anyway, a very gentle spirit like Jesus and like the Savior commands respect and attention and reverence and a holy hush. Well, you know, if he can quiet the seas and the wind and the waves, hush, be still. How much more easily is he going to shut the Pharisees and the scribes' mouths with just a look? His meek, it says, and his lowly heart could only be stirred to anger by a very great cause. And always Jesus had the cause of the poor and the maimed in mind. Now, they weren't perfect. But then he came to receive the sick, didn't he? The Bible says he only looked, and the look had more pity than contempt in it. And so he gazed at each person one at a time, like taking one of these pictures. No one, I believe, escaped his eye. And so they saw that to him their conduct was very loathsome. He understood them, if anybody ever did, and their rottenness moved him. But he hadn't said a word. They were not worthy, you see, of any kind of a word. Sometimes you don't have to say anything to anybody, and I think that's the biggest victory when we don't say anything anyway. Silence says a whole lot. But, you see, neither would words have any effect on them or just give them something to argue about. Give them audience. Give them fuel, it says, for the fire. My mother used to always say, when you run into someone like that, don't give them fuel for the fire. But for these people, a look was the best reply. It says, they looked on him. And now it says, he looked on them. Now let's say you had a whole audience of people, Marty, that were looking on you. Say that you messed up some kind of a cabinetry. And they're all looking on you because you were the head cabinet maker. They're all looking on you. Well, the time will come, because you know your business, that you look on them. And they'll nervously try to get their little glue clamps on there just right. And it must have been wrong on here. The major must have been wrong on here. I know it was 78 and 3/16 plus a hair. And you'll look on them. But your best reply is just to look on them. You know, when I read this scripture so reminded me of the scripture in Revelations where the ungodly cried out to the rocks, it says, cover us. Cover us, O hills, hide us from the face of him that sits upon the throne. Now, I know your look isn't going to get him to wish the rocks to cross, you know, that they were laying under a rock, but it will have its effect. Mark said the book and the look in the book said the look contained anger, it says. And it says it contained grief, indignation, and sorrow. He looked round about them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. He was angry that they should willingly blind their eyes to the truth. It was so plain. Ever been around somebody and the truth is as plain, you say, as the nose on your face, and they just will not admit it? So hard to receive that truth when pride gets wounded. An argument, you see, is so convincing. He gave them light, but they refused to see it. Is it wrong to heal this withered hand on this man's arm, his hand? Is it wrong for me to heal it on Sunday? Is it wrong to do good on the Sabbath? Plain as the nose on their face. And so, see, it is possible to be angry and sin not. That's very difficult for us. But anyway, here, love hates evil but doesn't kill everyone involved. That's the wrong kind of love. You love a friend, and so then you kill everybody that's said naughty naughties to him. Well, you shouldn't have done that. That's my friend. Wrong kind of love, folks. Are you hearing this? And so anger has to be, and is in this scripture, mingled with grief. It tones it down. In other words, he was heartbroken because their hearts were so hard. That's like your children when their hearts are real hard. Your parents that are listening on the radio and your kids are playing outside and you see they have a hardness in their heart and can't forgive this one or that one or even those in their family. And it grieves you. It's love. And it can have anger, but it's an anger that has a grieving in it. For the hardness of their hearts, just like your children here on this old earth. That's the way the Lord looked at it. Grieves you, Marty, when one of your little ones, if they would do that, they'd be out there in the sandbox as you're the father. They're the little children there. And you see they have an opportunity to admit they were wrong, and they just won't do it. It grieves you. You love them, but it grieves you. You just can't admit they were wrong. Stubborn. And so anger, again I say, is here mingled with grief. And he knew the hardness would hurt them. That they were going to have to come to a sort of a repentance here. He knew that their hardness would injure not others so much as themselves. It was a securing their own destruction type of thing. You see your little ones like that, you grieve because this kid's going to have a hard time down the line. Poor loser, they call it. You parents, they're listening on a radio. Do you know what I'm talking about at all? He was angry with them because, you see, they were, in a sense, destroying their own souls. And, you know, this spirit of being angry with God for doing good is still around today. And if it doesn't happen through our own churches, we get angry. Some kind of a miracle, some kind of a move, some kind of a this, some kind of a that. Jealousy, envy come in. Rivalry, contentions, splitting. Churches split all the time. And so here when God wishes to heal a withered hand, to reach souls, to save them, to deliver them, to set them free, the Bible says, to receive glory. And if he doesn't use our little church, we get angry. How come he didn't use us? You use them guys all the time. And we never get used. You always choose my big sister over me, isn't it right? She always gets favorite things done for her, huh, kids? Watch that old spirit. Right? We shout, "No fear!" How childish. Hey, it's our turn for a miracle. People would rather see a whole area perish than allow God to get glory through someone else. I think sometimes that's why there isn't a large cash flow here. Well, it doesn't matter because God is not the author of confusion. He's the one that authors this work and finishes work. But isn't it a shame that money doesn't come in from various different churches to keep this work and this mission work going down here? I mean, wouldn't you think that a lot of churches would want to be involved in this type of a work to glorify God? But see, sometimes it isn't happening through our particular channel. Well, maybe this will turn some of you people off their listening, but I think first we need to turn you off so we can turn you on. Maybe we have to give you a food for thought. Are you hearing this on the radio? Oh God, I hope you're hearing it. See, friends, this makes God angry and it grieves Him. See, it's only one body, one Christ, one baptism, period. Well, yeah, but they don't speak in tongues and they don't prophesy and they don't have word of knowledge and things. There's a greater thing right now, and these things will pass away, and it's called love. Now, I'm not talking about a phony chessy cat smile all the time love. I'm talking about just love by obeying God. Against your stubborn, mean, sweating, ornery flesh that's always going to be hanging on you until the day you go. See, God wants here to do good, and His hands are tied. Why? Because of unlove. How will the world be convinced, it says, when they love one another? They say, behold how they love one another. And there's no excuses for not loving one another. Well, I don't love them because they don't play fair. And they don't play by our rules. We sprinkle, they dunk. We this, we that. And they don't play by our rules. There's only one Jesus Christ. There is only one baptism. And how silly it sounds when we get into doctrinal things, when there's a work to be done that's so plain as the nose on your face. Well, as plain as my nose is big enough. Come on now. Plain as the nose on your face. You think that makes God angry when He looks around and everything and people here are suffering and they're suffering here and they're suffering there? People in high places, the Bible talks about manipulating the multitudes like puppets, arguing, fighting in high places. Congress fighting and this is fighting and senators fighting and companies fighting. Stock market fighting, churches fighting. But anyway, what caused this anger and what caused this grief? Their hardness of heart. How can you be so hard-hearted, he's saying. Here is someone wounded. Here is someone with a paralyzed, withered arm. Here is someone that's been paralyzed for they have nothing to eat and they have no clothing and they don't have a warm bed and they don't have pillows and they don't have this and they don't have shoes. A guy came in today. Whereas the 8D was wearing like a 6.5 and he was walking around like this, 6.5 shoes. Have you got a pair of shoes for me? Dancing around like this. His feet are all crammed into these shoes. Said, I went to the hospital and they lost all my clothes. They lost my shoes and I haven't got no coat. Well, I said, I'll tell you what, there are no shoes here. But I have a pair at home that I'll bring down. Did you tell him I'd bring them down? I got a pair for him. Brand new. 8Ds. And I mean, you know, it'll do me a lot of good. It'll soften my heart up. First of all, you have to put yourself in the other man's shoes, which would have been easy for me because I had the same size. I should have slipped my feet inside them shoes there. 6 1/2, trying to, ooh, ow, ow, ooh, ow, ow, ee, ooh, ah, 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 huh? Get into another man's moccasins before you open up your face. Paraphrasing. Are you hearing this? Their callousness of conscience. Oh, I mean, why should you do this? On the Sabbath you're healing this person? On the Sabbath you're going to bring some shoes down for this man? No, get out of here. Take your shoes off if they hurt. Huh? Here, put some plastic bags over him and get out. Here's some bread bags. Throw them on. Here's some rubber bands. Yeah, well, we can get pretty callous. Because of their lack of feeling. Feelings. Feelings like I never had before. All feelings, huh? Have you got any? Are you listening on the radio? Do you feel for your old pastor? Or maybe you cast him out. There's only, I guess the norm for pastors cross country here is 3 years. And that's in ideal situations. Huh? Maybe you feel for him after that. I really feel for that guy. You know what I mean? He got out of the ministry. I really feel for him. What's he going to do now? I'll tell you one thing. He's probably got it a whole lot easier than he had living with you folks. Say amen. People listening on the radio, come on now. Hardness of hearts. Now, we travel on our feet, they become hard, don't they? Calloused. We travel against the wind, our faces become hard, creased, leathery. We work with our hands and they become calloused and hard. But you know, when the hardening takes a soft heart and makes it hard, oh, how awful that is. Ah, oh, some of these sweet little children come in here at noontime. I look at them and I think, you know, and they'll come up and they'll put their arms around you and like this. And you look down and you get kind of grieved because you see sometimes the parents don't care that much or they're not even around. And you get angry about it, but you're grieved at the same time. So you don't, you know, put a bullet through somebody. But I mean, you get grieved. You say, well, now what's going to happen to this little guy here? He's so tender and so sweet and so smiling now. And what's going to happen down the line? They are going to get hard-hearted. And you'll see them in 3 or 4 years and they'll come in. They'll be all mean and they'll be all snarly and snappy. And it grieves you. God, that's a shame. That's a shame. See someone, little kid, they're all happy and smiling, and then you see them in a couple of years, God. Or you see some people that go through this school of hard knocks and they don't know how to write them, and they get all angry and mean, bitter. Now, when we get too hard to see people's needs, when we get too hard to help, hey, you're only going to be on this planet a few years at the most. Make the best of it while you're still here, while there is still day, the Bible says. And when we close our eyes to what God lights up for us, what a lighting up, what a revealing there is in this ministry down there, working and going out. What a lighting up, a revealing like no one knows. What a revealing it is on a hobo bus. When God lights it up and says, well, here it is. What a revealing it is when you work in the mission and you see all of this. I'm talking about the little ones, I'm talking about the parents, and I'm talking about people in general. People standing at the counter down there looking like, I'm sorry, excuse me for being alive. And you once in a while can kind of feel yourself a little bit of this thing the devil tries to get you kind of hard on. I say, no, no. So you're still going to deal with the flesh. But greater is he that's within than he that's of the world, the devil in the world. Greater. That's why they have that scripture. There's a battle, folks. And so when we close our eyes to what God lights up for us, oh, it grieves God. The world is starving right now and people are busy arguing doctrine. Old people are dying all over our country here. Unwanted, unvisited, unloved. I have a word for you old people out there. Don't wait. If you're in a wheelchair, wheel yourself out of there. If you're on crutches, crutch yourself out of there. Be of some use and stop waiting for others to come to your aid. It's a shame they don't. But it's the way it is. Why is this? Hardness of heart. Well, we're going to go see mother today or dad today. Oh, no. Man. I have to hear about them old war stories again. Huh? How many people are like that? What happens to people? They have a hardness of heart, and friends, just like you, Marty, or just like you, Carolyn, and your kids, or Janine, just like your kids, sometimes you see what they do and it grieves you. And you become angry. But a grieving anger. And doesn't it grieve you that there's people all over that no one cares for, not one iota, and even now they're saying, well, you have a right to die. Well, there's all kinds of people that want to die. And so now they're trying to pass those kind of rulings. Well, I heard a guy on TV the other day says, well, I think after a certain age, a person, if they have an illness, like they have a bad heart, or you know, it's going to cost a family a lot of money, then he can just sign a paper. And I think that they shouldn't have a donor's bank for people that have a real bad heart. If they had one in there, they shouldn't give another one. They should say, okay, and have a limit on that. That is the beginning of the most hellish thing that you ever want to see. Because it seems like every other week, someone would like to be out of this old world. It's kind of like hiring a hitman to come and hit you, and then you change your mind. And you tell them, no matter what I say, I want you to murder me. Seen that show one time with, I think it was Burt Reynolds, had hired some guy. The guy was sincere. He was going to do a good job. He couldn't shake this guy. Are you hearing this? Yeah. The world starves and we argue doctrine. But what was their exact fault anyway? The scribes and the Pharisees would not see. Didn't say they couldn't see. They would not see. That's why sometimes people look right past people. They will not see, they won't see, they would not see. You ever wait on people and you will not see them? Might as well not wait on them. If you're doing it for your own satisfaction, know what I mean? And they would not see him. Your mother's doing all the housework, and you're throwing your clothes all over, and you will not see that your jacket's in the floor, and your mother's picking up your jacket, and picking up your glasses, and finding all your stuff, and you're always losing your stuff, and so on. You will not see. Vice versa. They would not see. They could see, but they wouldn't see. They would not see. Wouldn't. I won't. That I won't spirit. See, there's a will spirit and a won't spirit. They're both connected to the will. I mean, the case was so clear, but they would not see. Here's a man here with a withered arm. He needs my help. He needs our help. Now, granted it's the Sabbath, is it okay to do good? Well, they didn't even look at him. They would not see. He set the truth so plainly before them that they had to strain, I believe, had to strain their very understanding to avoid being convinced. Now, you convince a fool against his will, he's of the same opinion still. They would not see. Now, there's someone that does a job a certain way at your job. And you show them a quicker way, and you've done that, what they're doing before, and you show them a quicker way, but they will not see. They're going ahead and do it their own way. To see their way is the most perfectest way. I know that's incorrect English, but I just love to turn people on out there and then they just listen. Did you hear that? Well, if they will not listen, they'll at least listen for bad English so they can correct it. Now I got their attention. You skies. In other words, they pull the shades on their souls. They close, let's say, the shutters of their mind to be able not to see. Well, that's why people say, I can't see it. Did you see that? No. And you can turn your back on all kinds of suffering and not see it. You will not see, won't see, don't want to see, will not see. There are none so blind as those who will not see. You have eyes, Jesus says. Can you not see? Ye have ears, can ye not hear? What good are they if you don't use them? There's no one as deaf as those that will not hear, and none so blind as those that have eyes and will not see. Well, that's what envy does to you. That's what jealousy does to you, and that's what fear does to you. You just can't see it. You put it out, block it out of your mind so you don't have to look at it. Well, what'll this person think, and what'll that person think, and what'll they think? And fear grabs a hold. So you just, you space out, you freak out on the thing, see? Miss the point entirely. None so blind as those that will not see. And that's the way it is now, isn't it? Many times. People who know the truth but do not act on their knowledge. Well, they know what's to do, right? But they won't do it. They know they should treat someone better, but they know that, but they just can't put it into action. See, knowing and doing are two different things. What enters in? Pride, envy, jealousy, and fear. Self-righteousness. Jealous because God isn't using your church as a channel. So now we ain't going to help anybody. Well, we aren't going to send our money over to Ethiopia. What glory isn't it for us? And so we find little things wrong so we don't have to. Oh, I've seen a woman taking 15 bags of groceries on Thanksgiving Day. She couldn't eat them all anyway. Had to give them away, right? Therefore, I will not give anything to anyone, no matter if I see them starving upon the street. There, I said it and I'm glad. Well, whoop-de-doo. You just grieve in God's heart with your stupid, hard anger. And your stupid, hard heart. Huh? Can't we find all kinds of excuses you heard all the time from people?
I don't believe in that. Hey, I brought myself up by my own bootstraps. Huh? I mean, I'm a self-made man. Hey, let them people help themselves. They will not see. Don't want to see. Will not see.
Huh? See, they don't want to be convinced. And even those that aren't saved, sometimes they don't want to be convinced and they don't want to be converted. They will not see. But they harden themselves, the Bible says, against the known duty and the plain right. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and ye shall be saved. And they harden their heart. And they ask stupid questions. Well, what does that mean? Well, it's very simple. Confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and I'll be saved. But see, it's very, very complicated. If you will not see, very complicated. It's so complicated, it'll never get through your thick head.
There you have it. That was episode 319, part 1, Hearts. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Have a beautiful weekend. God bless you.
To England or France, you may like to gamble, you might like to dance, you may be the heavyweight champion of the world, you may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage, money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor, or they may call you chief. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper. It may be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to.
to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, preacher, spiritual bride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk. Might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve,
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ. You may call me Ray. You may call me anything. No matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.